Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, wrestle me, Mark!
Wrestle me, Pete!
Mark, I don't know which order these are going to be in, so I can't remember whether you're about to put all of your beer in a bag. Or you're at the moment, your bag is still full of beer.
I think we have so many wonderful stories.
So many wonderful... Mark, the story's cup overfloweth like a misbehaving can.
Do you know, slightly, actually, when people do podcasts and they have that thing of saying, you know, so we recorded this back in October or whatever, I immediately go, I am no longer interested in this podcast.
I know, I do too. I go, well, you have nothing to say about the world and where I am now today.
Oh, sorry, I'll just wait 3 months to hear your wonderful wisdom that's worth keeping around for 3 months.
You listened to that and then thought, that still works.
Yeah,
that's
still
the
works.
Best I could have done in 3 months.
Absolutely.
Go fuck yourself.
What are you doing now? Huh? Stuff I'm going to listen to in the future? No, you're not.
Not listening.
Oh, Tesco, can I have some milk? It's from 3 months ago. I'm not having it. I don't want your rancid, sour podcasts. It has to be recorded. So I think what we have to pretend, basically.
Yes, okay.
We recorded
recording
this
today.
Probably the morning
today.
If
this comes out on Christmas Day, I mean, this is... which one is this?
This is
the pre-Christmas Day one, I believe.
We are going to be doing the wonderful saga of Johnny Storm versus Jody Fleisch.
Yes, please.
We are going back to 2002 and to CZW, Combat Zone Wrestling in America.
This is actually out on the 31st of December.
What? This sour little thing.
I hope you're enjoying your New Year celebrations, guys.
Now you say it, I do remember that I specifically asked if this could go out on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, as a little New Year's Eve treat.
And then acted like it was going out on the 23rd.
Yeah. Okay.
What a big baby.
Happy New Year, guys.
Hey, look.
Oh, steady.
2020, eh?
What a piece of shit.
That can do one.
What a dumpster fire.
Oh, God.
If you want to listen to any of the other
does coronavirus stop in 2021?
I believe it does,
It just goes overnight. It
survived the winter.
Yeah. I tell you what, this year has given me newfound respect for coronaviruses.
What do you mean? As in, like...
Previously, I didn't think anything about them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm aware that that was a gap in my knowledge. Not understanding their customs and ways.
Yes, yeah.
I took them for granted. They were something that weren't going to impinge on my life.
The pangolin I was fucking looked at me. I looked at him.
But I mean, this year, if it's taught us anything,
it's
got to be a grudging respect for the coronavirus.
Oh, it has the staying power of Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mark. It really does.
It does. I mean, if any COVIDs are listening, guys, I'm sorry that I've spent so
doubted
long.
Doubted you.
Well, just you know, ignoring and dismissing them because, you know, there's a show of power this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we'll never take them for granted again.
I only recently sort of figured out / read on a website COVID-19 is because it started in 1919.
Yeah.
1919.
I read a lot of websites that talk about how it's been here post-World War One.
Yes.
No, yeah, it's good, isn't it? I like that sort of thing when you sort of go, I thought the scientists were really like clever, but it's just actually
it's just a date. Yeah, it's just a date. I mean, the annoying thing is if they'd have given it like a month, that would have like COVID, you know, whatever, November, COVID November 19.
Yeah.
That would have given it a little less scope to spread, I would say.
Yeah, completely.
Because it would be like, oh, I've kind of outstayed our welcome.
Yeah.
What was happening?
You'd sort of, I think you'd
still
sort of
locking up
go...
children on the border at that point. I mean, they probably still are.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? All those horrible things are still going on, but we're like, oh, we've moved on now.
Yeah, because something's harming us.
Yeah, we don't have time to talk about all
those
other things.
We don't have time to do that yet. No, fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's been indescribable year for everyone. But I mean, it has been really noticeable in wrestling. I was watching some Game Changer Wrestling, GCW. And they had been criticised during the sort of, I suppose, the latter part of the first wave.
Right.
When they brought shows back on too quickly.
Yeah.
And they had a show that, even though they said they took precautions, a lot of people tested positive after that show.
Right.
And I was watching their most recent one, which was from about a week ago. And they were, in between matches, they were sort of, you know, guy would come out with essentially a pack of, you know, Dettol wipes and start rubbing the rings. And the commentators were just going, yeah, never let it be said that we run a fucking sloppy business. You know, you see that, no one's going to be complaining this time. And it's just, I thought, oh God, I fucking hate tawdry wrestling. Again, it's that thing of, I've said this many times, but it's those moments where the imaginary person who you respect at work walks into the house and goes, hey, what are you watching? And I'm watching someone just going, fucking all these marks going on about how we spread super spreaders. You know, it's, they can go fuck themselves. You know, oh, God. Why can't I be reading a book? and I tell you, look, hey, the reason you still love wrestling is because of matches really like this. I've watched this match, I think, 3 or 4 times now.
Mm.
A lot of the time because I start making notes and then I miss bits and so I go back and everything. But I do have a thing of sort of going, oh, I don't feel like I've sat and watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I watched it about 2 hours before we started this record.
Mm.
And it is just a brilliant, brilliant match in 2020.
Yeah.
The fact that it's 18 years old.
2002.
I know. It's
like you watch that and you go, wow, that was really good. It's like, God, people have been losing their fucking minds in 2002.
And they were. They really were. I mean, 2002, I think you've got, like in WWE, your WrestleMania 18. So you still got all the big stars, your Rocks, your Austins, although Austin obviously retired the year before, your Hulk Hogan's, all the big sort of, you know, names are still there. And what suddenly happens in this match is two people come out of not just nowhere, because they weren't known before they took part in this match.
Yeah.
But they came out of Britain, which was a country that really, even people like me who were into wrestling, thought the scene was long, long dead.
Mm.
And so they come from nowhere, literally nowhere, and they put on one of the matches really of the year. Looking back at it from a historical point of view, it's sort of more important now than it was then.
Mm.
What's really sort of magical about this match to some degree is that this is the one moment where Jody Fleisch and Johnny Storm came together to do a match on TV, on a international stage.
Yeah.
And it just went brilliantly. And then for various reasons, they never, ever got the chance to do it again. And it's just a fascinating moment that somehow, again, I love that thing of the two of them were intertwined. And they came together at that perfect moment. They did something incredibly beautiful, and then they just disappeared again. It's just, the chances of this match happening seemed very small. The reality is, they might have fought each other more than any other two wrestlers in the world. And we'll talk about that once we've talked about the match. Worth saying, I mean, just to set it in context, in 2002... Obviously, the British scene is very, very different. It's in 1988, the world of sport has come off television, and British wrestling has been dwindling and dwindling and dwindling and declining ever since then. As the Attitude Era hits, there's a bit of a resurgence because people are once again interested in wrestling. And the way that Britain reacts to this is they don't suddenly go, well, come and see some wonderful British wrestling. What basically blossoms all over the country, primarily in sort of smaller regional places and the holiday camps, is what's known as tribute shows. And tribute shows were those wrestling shows filled with wrestlers who were from Britain and who missed the glory years of the sport and had just been still working in front of ever smaller crowds, who suddenly went, there is some money to be made here. if we dress up as X-Pac and Kane and The Undertaker.
Incredible.
I had a look through some of my favourites. There were also, worth saying, for about 5 years, every British card had a doink on it. Because a doink you could just put on a clown makeup, yeah, no matter how badly.
No.
And people were like, how is that the real doink? I went through some of it. There was Boston Blackie. He had a tribute act which was called The Welsh Rock.
The Welsh Rock. Can you smell what the rock is? Welsh Red.
They had The Dudley Boy.
Who Dudley was Boy! On his own. Oh, like a lonely, like the third Gallagher brother. Oh, no.
The Dudley Boy.
That's so sad.
And my absolute favourite, I mean, there are some favourites who were around earlier as well, like Legend of Doom, who was right, a guy called Johnny South. He must have been about 60.
Okay.
When he became the Legend, the
Legend
of Doom.
Legend of Doom.
He looked like a hawk. Because he had a sad, droopy dog face. But my absolute favourite is a masked man who was called his second. I have to break it down like this because otherwise you'll get the joke too quickly.
Right.
His surname was Stereo, like the music Stereo.
Yeah.
His first name was Raymond.
Raymond Stereo. Oh, good.
Raymond Stereo. Amazing. Please welcome Raymond Stereo.
What did you say? No, it doesn't matter.
Now, I was going through some of the old things.
Stereo.
People who went to these tribute shows, like with their dads. The number of people who went to these shows who thought they were seeing the genuine WWF
Raymond
stars.
Stereo.
Yeah. They thought, yeah, the WWF have decided to do this show in Preston or Clydebank or Hull. Yeah. And they have come here. And what is funny is these guys, just because the glory years were over, and if you like, the modern era and the British wrestling revival hadn't yet started, these guys weren't shit. Most of them had learnt at the feet of some of the great stars of the 70s and 80s. They were all really, really capable hands.
But there was no outlet at that time for
them. There was no industry. It had just died. So people talk about going to see these, and there was also a sort of UK Mankind. right. And people would say, you know, he went through five chairs. It was an amazing match. The UK Undertaker was often like celebrated for the fact that he doesn't do a tombstone. He does a running, jumping tombstone, you know, as a finishing move. A lot of these sort of tribute shows, what they would do is they would always advertise a steel cage match, you know, between The Rock, brackets from Banger, versus Kane. And, you know, Kane, you'd be like, is the suit too big? Or is Kane got
C-A-N-E.
Smaller? And they'd always say, there's going to be a steel cage match, you know, amazing 30-foot steel cage. And at the start of every show, and this happened all around the country, the announcer would come out and say, well, I'm very sorry, but the council and the venue have refused to let us erect the cage.
Bullshit.
I mean, it's just a proper return to the carny thing.
Carny crap, isn't it?
There was a guy who was on Reddit. He said, my favourite tribute show memory was a dad getting upset when it turned out he realised it wasn't the real WWF performer. Yeah. His young son had calmly said to him, Dad, Taz was at Madison Square Garden on Monday. Why would he now be in Stockport?
I like the son giving it the kind of like, come on, Dad.
It does sound a little bit like I was watching a WWF tribute show when my three-year-old son turned to me and said, come on, father, Taz has just performed in Madison Square Garden. But it is someone says, I remember a show at Woodford Leisure Centre. The main event was billed as Jake the Snake Roberts versus Earthquake. Of course, it wasn't the genuine Earthquake, but amazingly, it turned out to be the real Jake the Roberts, Snake. Which is just brilliant. So that's the sort of scene that these two guys have basically started training to be professional wrestlers.
But why don't they do that now? I would like to watch people doing tributes for that, just, you know, one night only.
Pete, I've said this.
Crystal Palace.
I mean, we are going to put on what I call the greatest WrestleMania. Now, there will be lawyers' letters. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, where some of the wrestlers that we like and book will simply be recreating the great WrestleMania matches.
Wrestlers
of our time.
We've never really seen wrestle as part of WrestleMe. Gorilla Monsoon versus The Rock.
Oh,
that's what I would like to
see. I mean, that is. No one's done that fantasy booking show where they go, you will have to study Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah.
And you can only do what Gorilla Monsoon would do in this match against Necro Butcher. So the two wrestlers that we're talking about are Wonder Kid Johnny Storm, who is from Harlow in Essex. And he debuted in 1997 when he was 20 years old. And the Phoenix, Jody Fleisch, who debuted in 1996 when he was just 16. What's really interesting about them is they both really got into wrestling before that massive Attitude Era boom. Mm. So you could tell that they were sort of, it was always going to be a job they were going to do. And maybe that's the thing that sort of helped them get through the fact that they were doing it in a country where there was no real mainstream wrestling outlet.
Yeah.
Jody Fleisch, I'll concentrate on him a bit. He was a fan of The Ultimate Warrior and The Undertaker, and then later Shawn Michaels. But the thing that really changed things for him was he started getting into tape trading. One of the things he first got into was ECW, he said, and it just all flooded in from there with the tapes. He watched a lot of Rey Mysterio, a lot of Jushin Liger, and a lot of great Sasuke. Both of the men were trained by a guy called Dino Scarlo. And he was the son of Tony Scarlo, who was a 70s and 80s wrestler who had lots of really good matches with the Dynamite Kid. So a guy who really knew the basics. Mm. And what I love about this is you can see this unbroken chain of all of this sort of wrestling knowledge being passed down. Because wrestling is a closed shop, there is that thing about how it just goes through the generations by word of mouth and by those training things. So there's a funny sort of thing of Jody Fleisch being trained by Dino Scarlo, who was trained by his father, Tony Scarlo, who would have been trained by, I don't know, Billy Riley in the Wigan Snake Pit gym. You know, it's just that amazing unbroken chain of men doing the same thing that they were probably doing at the turn of the century. You know, of the last one, not obviously 2001. It's not as impressive. They teamed together very early in their careers, Johnny Storm and Jody Fleisch. And really from their first match, their careers are inextricably linked, and they culminate in this match in 2002. So the very first match that Jody Fleisch has is in a tag team match where Johnny Storm is one of his opponents. The very first singles match he has is against Johnny Storm. And that was the first match they had was in, I think, I think 2000, around that time. They were working for a place called the FWA, the Frontier Wrestling Alliance. And this was a really, really important part of the British revival. So what happened is they were based in Portsmouth and they ran as a wrestling school, but also put on shows. And they brought that sense of professionalism and training back to a scene that was previously just tribute shows and holiday camp routes and things. They were like, how can we do it in Britain? In 2000, they began bringing in sort of American stars. They brought in Sabu for a show and they brought in Dan Severn. I think Jody Fleisch has a brief period in Japan. He goes to Michinoku Pro under a mask. And so he's beginning to pick up more skills. In 2002, after he had an elbow injury and returned, he won the FWA King of England tournament, which was he ended up getting presented with a medal by Dynamite Kid at the end in a ceremony. Dynamite Kid came out in a wheelchair. There is actually a link to that little presentation in the new newsletter. And so he's basically, in a tiny, tiny scene, Jody Fleisch has been anointed as, you know, the man. In June 2002, he started taking bookings in the United States, and he did a tour of a couple of federations, the Premier Wrestling Federation, Ring of Honor, and Combat Zone Wrestling. I watched an interview with him the other day. It was done in June by an American guy. One of the worst interviewers I've ever seen in my life. Absolutely appalling. And it had 63 views, and it's slightly heartbreaking to see him being put through a 45-minute interview where the guy barely lets him speak. You know, I can't watch it on Netflix because I shared passwords with my stepfather. He said at one point, I mean, you know, I know we're bad, but you hear stuff like that and you go, maybe we're not as bad as everyone else. But Jody Fleisch in that, he talked about that and he sort of said, I can't even remember who organised it. I just don't know how it came about.
Yeah.
But
he usually have to get like a visa and all that, but you know, performing visa and all that stuff. It's wrestling. Yeah. Carry on.
So he ends up having his first match in the ECW arena. And as a huge ECW fan, he is, you know, thrilled to be there. And that took place at CZW's tournament called Best of the Best. This is the second year it ran. And that was, it's very much, CZW were an ultra-violent sort of ECW-style hardcore promotion. But they also, like ECW, had these sort of scientific tournaments every year. They realized people can't just watch death matches constantly. You need a balanced card that has great performances on it as well to sort of, you know, even it all out. And that was what this Best of the Best tournament was. He said at the time when he arrived there, he just felt like a tourist. He, you know, nobody knew who he was, and he didn't know anything about really how it all worked. And that is where we come in with this match. Okay, you absolutely knocked out by it.
Yeah,
you?
It was great. Like it was some of the it was like a 720 sort of DDT thing. Oh. I was like, what the fuck? And it, again, This was 2002.
Yeah.
And it was off. One of them came off the top turnbuckle, sort of rotated in the air and kicked the other one in the head. It was like, yeah, it was amazing.
It's astonishing. I mean, Johnny Storm is one of those guys who, they are very much linked and united, but there is a sense of people going, Jody Fleisch, he could have been, you know, one of the huge stars. And people don't really talk enough about Johnny Storm.
Right.
He is 50% of this match, and he is absolutely not a sort of passenger in this by any means. He comes out and he starts like shouting at the crowd.
Yeah, playing and he's, faggots and stuff.
Well, I know. Even in, I was like, oh, a different time.
Yeah, different time.
But I was like, in 2002, still not acceptable. Yeah. But he comes out with his little sort of shitty high pitched Essex voice.
He sounds like a 90s happy hardcore singer. Yeah. Come on, get up.
You people are the biggest lot of shitheads I've ever seen in my life, he says. Shithead. Shithead is one of my favourite swear words. Oh, you shithead. It's just magic.
It's cutting, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah,
it's, you hear it so infrequently that you go, oh, that came from somewhere.
Shithead.
You shithead.
I don't think I could call anyone in my life a shithead.
Do you
I
not?
Call him a cunt. I'll call him anyone.
There are two things that are really, really fancy. One is shithead, and the other is you're a little prick. It's a real, oh, that's hard. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I meant to call you a cunt. he comes out, and I love the fact that, you know, it's got that very basic thing of, I've got my tights, I've got my sort of leotard that I wear.
I've got my Matrix glasses.
Matrix glasses. It was a very British thing where you were like, I don't really have a gimmick, but I want to show that I'm cool and rich.
Yeah.
Sunglasses. That has done
cool
the trick.
Matrix glasses.
Cool and rich.
I'm in the Matrix.
Yeah. But what he is doing, really, he comes out, and you actually see, gosh, there's a lot of like British influence in what he does.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And that whole thing of coming out and berating the crowd and continually going back to it and pointing at people going, you know, you shut your mouth. It's really sort of like that. That's a big part of the Butlin circuit of making the crowd part of the show,
yeah,
and hectoring them. I mean, he is also sort of going, well, I'm in America in CZW now, so I will also swear. So he's a bit like, at one point he's like, button it, you shut it. Fuck off. He sort of goes, and it's a little bit sort of joined together. I love his sort of like, Bret Hart crossed with a Van Weasel. Look, Van Weasel, I think I might have mentioned it before. My favourite thing, Johnny Vaughan came up with it. And I think it's one of the funniest observations I've ever seen like a non-stand-up come up with. And that was, you know, his big thing about if you see a works van, like a painter or decorator or a plumber's, there's always two men, and in the middle is what he calls the Van Weasel.
Yeah, yeah, good, nice.
Like a little scrawny lad, about 17, with sort of like, you know, open mouth and, you know, jug ears, with a cap on.
Yeah.
That is a Van Weasel. Yeah. They actually, when we were at Capital, they started giving away stuffed van weasels that you could stick on your work van.
If you didn't have van weasels for yourself.
I went into rooms that were full of those, and I've never, ever seen one since. And all I think now is, I quite like a van weasel.
Yeah, I quite like a van weasel.
Johnny Storm does have a sort of van weasel, which is good for a wrestler. It's a sort of like, you're an annoying little shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Your big mouthy shit.
It's
you know?
Such sweaty hair. Such oily
greasy
hair.
Oh. Proper greaseball hair.
You would have to... I put hairspray on because I have very thin hair. And, you know, people have recommended me products before. It just floats away. It's like candy floss. It's ridiculous. So I put hairspray on just to keep it in some semblance of control. And it's like glue. And I have to, like, I can shampoo twice to get it out. I cannot imagine how long that takes to get out.
Like you know what? You know
like
you
getting a little duck on the beach that's covered in crude oil.
You know what you have to do? You have to just go. There'll come a time where I'll want to wash this. Don't wash it. I just cut it off. Cut it off and start again. In fact, I have
cut yourself out of it like a smashed up car.
It's just a wad of hairy chewing gum painted black.
Yeah.
I have actually seen pictures of Johnny Storm and he does have a shaved head.
Does
so
he?
So whether
right,
or not he has to take that final thing of just going, well, this ain't coming out. Got a right shithead, you know. Snip, snip. What's you know, great and CZW as well. This always, anytime you watch CZW, even from this era, slightly the same with Ring of Honor, it is like you're watching third generation pornography. It feels like somehow this has survived, and you know you weren't supposed to see this because it's like it's filmed on audio tape. It's so fuzzy and crap. You think about WWE in 2002 and. I no one was saying they had to be state of the art, but I think they are using like camcorders at this stage, dubbing straight onto videotapes and then just going, well, we'll burn a couple of those off. For the. I mean, it really is sort of, I find it very, very exciting when I see that. I know exactly what era I'm in.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of seeing it on tapes, you know.
Oh, yeah. And you know, for a fact, the Masters won't survive because of the degradation of those kind of media. That kind of media
completely.
Does not last.
It's basically, if you got it on a DVD at an early point for a tape trader who had an original, that is the best condition copy out there.
Yeah.
What they go into is a fantastic, it's such a good match. And it's such a good match because they are coming from, you know, no one has any expectations about what they do. They have literally not been heard of by anyone in this room. And they come out and what they do is they are just this new breed of wrestler who have looked internationally. So they come out and it starts off with this very classic British sort of counter wrestling. And they're, you know, one of them gets the other down, he counters, gets the other one down, he counters, they both flip up, you know, there's an arm thing that one of them will get out of and they'll put the other one in. And it's just proper lovely British chain wrestling.
Yeah.
The beautiful sort of human chess game that takes place. What they've also put in is they've put in loads of sort of Japanese high-flying spectacular moves. And they've also added that American both showmanship and really sort of mouthy aggression. They're both quite arrogant in this.
Yeah.
And it just all works. And I slightly think, and I only thought of it this afternoon, but I think what they did here was they invented the indie spot fest where matches didn't really have build. Mm. They were just a series of absolutely jaw-dropping sort of moments that you just went, this is thrilling. They do the huge moves that should end the match, but don't, because you know, you kick out. And that happens again and again and again. And I was actually thinking, 2002, that is a very early point for what really, I think, you know, you could see in 2020. And I wonder if they invented the spot fest. I'm just absolutely fascinated by it. It's very, very high impact as well, which is that great thing that gets it across with the audience, where they aren't just like, well, this is a choreographed match.
Yeah.
It is just like, I wouldn't want to do any of this.
Oh, like the clotheslines are just flipping right over.
I mean, there's a it starts, I think, the first bit that you go, shit, this is not just flippy shit, is Jody Fleisch does a springboard missile dropkick off the middle rope, or off the top rope, right in the middle of the ring. And he goes into the back of Johnny Storm's head, and he flies out of the ring through the ropes, just like a torpedo. And it just... I mean, there's a bit where Jody Fleisch does, he bounces up onto the rope and then does a springboard shooting star press.
Mm.
So he does a backward somersault onto Johnny Storm. He so nearly wipes out, and he lands on a floor that has no mats.
Yeah.
It is just concrete. And the commentator's like, that's exactly what you got to do to get over. And what they're saying there is they're going, that looked so dangerous. and they almost really, really died. There's just so many good pieces. I mean, there's when you've sort of gone, that's really impressive what they did in the ring. Suddenly Johnny Storm has got a chair and he's walloping, and they chuck them out into the audience.
Into the audience, yeah.
Hits him with a beer can, and then, oh, the Jodie Fleisch just doesn't move. Did you even notice this? It's sort of hard to see because it's dark. But there's a bit where he runs towards a wall.
Yeah.
And he just walks up the wall and does a moonsault off the wall.
Right, okay.
It is legitimately like something from The Matrix. It really is amazing. I believe it was called something like a running wall moonsault. I mean, it's pretty basic, but actually watching it, it's that thing about, again, it's someone doing that thing where you run at a wall and you do a backflip.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing that in the middle of a wrestling match, having wrestled for 10 minutes at a juncture where it works as an offensive move. It is absolutely beautiful and brilliant. I couldn't get enough of this. At the point where Johnny Storm was doing his rewind Stormensteiner.
Rewind Stormensteiner.
He bounces on the ropes, on the turnbuckle. He then bounces backwards on his opponent, does a reverse Hurricane Runner. I mean, it's just such an incredible match.
Mm.
One of the things that was really, really big for me watching this at the time was this was two British people doing it.
Yeah.
And that made it all the more special. Mm. They were in a league of their own. And what it did was it suddenly opened your eyes to the idea. You went, Christ, okay, so we have wrestlers in Britain still, do we?
Mm.
And that was really one of the things that a whole generation began going, oh, okay, so I can do it here. Because you don't just have to be a fake expat. You know, you don't have to be, you know, a Kenneth Shamrock. You can be you, but you can be an international star.
Mm.
What is sort of really odd about, I mean, the closest parallel, I keep going back on myself, but the closest parallel that you could really get, especially to Jodie Fleisch, who was, you know, really the star of this match.
Mm.
You know, the two men work incredibly well together, but Jodie Fleisch is obviously given the victory and also is doing moves that really no one had ever seen at the time.
He's also wearing like a metal bead necklace that I used to wear
around
about the same time.
He looked cool. He didn't look like traditional British wrestlers, because what he looked like was he looked like someone young and cool.
Mm.
I know watching it back now, it doesn't look that cool. He looks like, you know, he's someone who's just discovered MDMA at a campsite, you know, or someone who you sort of go, I was at a Cornish festival and I met a boy and he's coming up this weekend and he turns up, you know, and he's in Hyde Park, you know, asking why it's so expensive and whether he can go in the Serpentine, you know. some of that may be based on a particularly painful breakup.
Wow.
But what you had, he was like a Will Ospreay in New Japan.
Yeah.
So when Will Ospreay came through and everyone was like, the British are back, that embarrassing like Chariots of Fire Colin Welland speech where he won the best adapted screenplay and went up at the Oscars and he sort of went, the British are back, and everyone was like, oh, this is excruciating. That's how I felt watching the Jodie Fleisch and Johnny Storm match, and it's how I felt when Will Ospreay started doing well in Japan, where you suddenly realise the success of one person from a scene
could elevate
suddenly
everyone else.
Elevate the scene.
Yeah.
What it says to people as well in that scene is it says for the first time in a long time, the doors are not shut. The doors to doing this across the world are open.
Yeah.
And that was really thrilling. Jodie Fleisch talked about this in an interview about the actual match and what happened in the aftermath. He said, there was a moment at the end of the show where they went through the names on the show on a microphone, asking the live crowd who they thought was their honorary best of the best. When they announced my name, the crowd's reaction actually blew me away. I legitimately wasn't expecting it. Based on that response, and also their response when they were asked about the match of the night, CZW gave me two trophies, match of the night and crowd's best of the best. And the next time they brought me in, they gave me another one for match of the year 2002. That was for this match. It's a great memory for me. And although it was tough, I remember throwing up afterwards. It was great to get to work in front of that crowd. My dad had taken me there on holiday to that same arena when I was younger. And I'd sat there picturing what it would be like to work there. This is the nicest part about it. So you remember ECW had some sort of super fans who were always in the front row.
Mm.
And one of them was called Straw Hat Guy because he always wore a straw hat and a Hawaiian shirt. And Jodie Fleisch said, when Straw Hat Guy asked me for my autograph, I signed it for him. But I made sure he gave me his two. Sweet.
Now, I like that a lot.
After this match, what it looked like was that there was a big career beckoning for, if not both men, certainly for Jodie Fleisch. And Jodie Fleisch did do some work in Ring of Honor. In 2003, FWA back in Britain held a show called Revival. And what this was a statement of intent of saying, we can rebuild UK wrestling and we can build this scene here. That did not work, but it did act as one of those important sort of signposts for a scene beginning to recover and develop. It took place at Crystal Palace Indoor Arena. It was broadcast live on TalkSport on the radio. Oh, right. They just had a radio commentary of revival. This was all to do with the fact that Tommy Boyd and TalkSport had become involved with the FWA. Mm. And they did lots of wrestling shows and things like that. And it was later screened on Bravo. So you could actually watch it on free TV. Mm. Doug Williams was beaten by Jody Fleisch in the tournament, which also involved Eddie Guerrero. And that's where Fleisch got his medal by the Dynamite Kid, I believe. I may have slightly mixed up the timings earlier when I was talking about it. I think I said it was in 2002. But I believe it's there. The easiest way to do it is to do your own research.
I was not going to go that deep.
Not to use a lot of beer-stained notes.
but they are soggy, aren't they?
He was the chosen one for British wrestling. He was the figurehead. And in September 2003, he was forced to retire. He had a number of minor injuries, but he cited personal problems. And so he retired from the scene at the age of 23.
Jeez, that is early, isn't it?
Yeah, he did return to wrestling. I've seen him on some shows in the last couple of years, often teaming with Johnny Storm, his opponent in this match. In 2007, he was in York Hall and did a shooting star press off the ring. And that nearly ended awfully because he, as he came down, he really, really caught his face on some wooden steps as he did it. And it's the whole place is just like, oh my God, he's dead. Please look after yourself a bit better. He's also got a small role in the Fighting With My Family film.
Oh, has he?
Yes. And he mentioned in the interview that I was listening that he hoped the Rock would see him and sort of go, I think you've got star potential. it's just very sweet. But what was really interesting about this match, not only just that it's an important historical match and it's really important, I think it really is important in the development of British wrestling. I think, you know, people like me, I did not go into wrestling. But what it made me realise, well, Britain isn't shit at this, you know.
Yeah.
And I started looking at what was around in Britain and I got interested in the FWA and I started watching it on Bravo. And I think there would be other people who probably, unlike me, then went, I would like to do this too, and became big stars.
Mm.
You know, I simply watched it and then had a cigarette out of my bedroom window and went to bed. But I had a look at this and this is absolutely, this becomes one of my favourite things about any wrestling that we've ever covered. And that is that Johnny Storm and Jody Fleisch have something almost unique. And what it is they are like, since day one, they've basically been dance partners. So they work together on a level that I don't think that you could think there are two active competitors who have ever done that. I had a look through Cage Match, which lists all these sort of wrestling results that are available.
Yeah.
And every single year, right, that he has had at least one singles match against Johnny Storm. So Jody Fleisch versus Johnny Storm has taken place in 1997, 1999, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2009, 10, 11, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20.
Wow.
They have been having one-on-one matches for 18 different years.
We are awed. 2004.
In 2008 and 2012, they didn't have singles matches that were recorded, but they did have tag team matches together. So they've had this 20 years of just continually working with each other. In all, Cage Match have 197 recorded matches with the two of them, either as opponents or tag team partners.
I hope they're friends.
They have more than 120 matches against each other in various combinations. I checked out their one-on-one record, and even better than that, I don't know if it's booked like this. I shouldn't think so, because it's for all different organisations.
Yeah.
They continually level out. So it goes, when they start in 1997, by the time you get to 2003, they've had 10 wins each, right? You get to 2011, it's leveled up again. And it's level again in 2017. Currently, the available ones, it states that Johnny Storm has won 24 and Jody Fleisch has won 29.
Brilliant.
And even nicer than that, the last match that both men had before the pandemic, on the 14th of March 2020, they were in London at the Resistance Gallery. And Jody Fleisch won that one. Watching this interview, he said he spent lockdown watching Hammer Horror, and with his mate's password, he's been watching WWE Network.
That rings true for a lot of us.
Yeah, he says he doesn't really watch a lot of wrestling. It's not really sort of, you know, something I think he enjoys. He says he'll have a watch every few months at sort of 1990s WWF stuff. And he also works as a personal trainer.
Ah, right, okay.
But what it got me thinking, Pete, is, all right, when we come to the final thing of WrestleMania, the pandemic will be over. I was thinking, do you know what would be great? We put on a show, right? One show. We can afford to lose the money on this, right? And I was thinking, what I'd really, really like is if it's 2021, let's do Jody Fleisch and Johnny Storm, and let's get them in. But we're not going to ask them to recreate the 2002 match. I think that would end up in the death of one of them. But I think it's such a nice thing, and people don't talk about it enough, about that idea about two men who have spent, I mean, over half their lives just each year wrestling meeting each other, up to do their little dance. I think it's absolutely gorgeous. it would only have been nicer if I'd have finished all that research and I'd gone, and do you know what, Pete? I had a look, and in 2018, they got married.
Yes, that would have been perfect. Oh, that would have been so perfect.
Unfortunately, I think both of them are heterosexual.
Oh, grow up, you two.
Get it on already.
Taste something different.
I love this match. Out of all the matches that we saw, this is the one that I hadn't really thought about. It was obviously suggested by one of the WrestleMania Marks Patreons. And I just absolutely adored going back to it. I think of all the matches from 2002, I'd be surprised if any single one of them has held up as well as that has.
No, it doesn't seem like it was done in 2002 in
not
any way. It seems like it just look. It reminded me of Ricochet and what do you call it?
Will Ospreay.
Will Ospreay.
Yep. Again, you know exactly.
Spot monsters.
Yeah, it's a proper sort of genre-defining historical moment in wrestling.
Yeah.
And it was done by two British people. You know, that makes me so proud.
Brexit means Brexit.
Brexit means Brexit.
Resume Mark.
Resume Pete.
Don't start me yell like that. That's awful.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.